From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
We're capitalist, and that's just the way it is.
That was Democratic Congressional Leader Nancy Pelosi at a recent CNN town hall answering this question.
51% of people between 18 and 29 no longer support the system of capitalism. The younger generation is moving left on economic issues, and I've been so excited to see how Democrats have moved left on social issues, but I wonder if there's anywhere you feel that the Democrats could move farther left to a more populist message, if you think we could make a more stark contrast to right-wing economics.
Pelosi is looking at a difficult road ahead in her quest to continue as the Democratic leader in the House. For one example, this is Democratic Ohio Congressmember Tim Ryan when he was asked by a reporter,
Nancy Pelosi is more toxic than Donald Trump?
You know what? The honest answer is, in some areas of the country, yes, she is.
And this is Kathleen Rice, a Democratic member of Congress from New York.
I'm not going to pretend that this is an easy conversation to have. It's not easy speaking truth to power. Nancy Pelosi was a great speaker. She is a great leader, but her time has come and gone.
But Pelosi seems to think everything is just fine.
I feel very confident in the support that I have in my caucus. I'm a master legislator. I am a strategic, politically astute leader. I am leadership is recognized by many around the country, and that is why I'm able to attract the support that I do, which is essential to our election, sad to say.
For more on that, we had our weekly conversation with Margaret Kimberly, columnist for BlackAgendaReport.com. Her Freedom Rider column this week, Nancy Pelosi sends Democrats over a cliff. Margaret, a pleasure as always.
Good morning, Don. Thanks.
So Nancy Pelosi is the subject of this week's column, and more particularly a quote from her, "We're capitalists," on CNN, and a description of the function she's serving. Nancy Pelosi sends Democrats over a cliff.
Yes, so I think they're all over a cliff. It's well, I chose to talk about her in particular in the wake of this congressional race in the sixth district of Georgia, and this huge effort by the Democratic Party to win this seat and put in this conservative Democrat John Ossoff, and he came up short. Despite it was a $50 million race. It seemed inexplicable. One wonders why the Democrats would put all that capital and political, into a red state. And their goal is to move to the right. That's always their goal of Democratic Party leadership. And so if you win that seat, you can tell Democrats, you see, we have to move to the right. That's the only way we can win,
right.
Except they didn't win.
Right.
And so, yes. So after this defeat, after they made such a big deal about it and still lost, there are many people who ask, why is she still the House leader?
Yeah, good question.
And the answer is, her answer is, because she raises so much money.
Yeah, because we're capitalists. Yeah, right.
Because we're capitalists. And she has raised $500 million since she became leader of the House of Democrats, but they don't have much to show for it. When you think about it, she was only speaker. That is to say, Democrats had the majority for 4 years, from, I believe, 2006 to 2010. And so it's years of failure.
Right.
So my argument against, and I've been saying this about the Democratic Party, is this fundraising prowess, A, doesn't work. Hillary Clinton had more money than Donald Trump. She raised $1 billion and couldn't win. And secondly, the fact that they can raise that much money tells you what the problem is.
Right.
The 1% don't give that kind of money. The PACs, the big pharma, all these people we need to be fighting are supporting the Democratic Party. So the Democrats aren't going to fight them. The Democrats cannot do what their people want them to do. Unless they jeopardize their support from the 1%. So, for example, Medicare for All. that's where everyone ought to be. There are finally House members calling for just that. But what does that mean? What does that mean for the insurance companies? What does that mean for Big Pharma, who aren't going to give as generously if they feel that there could be some legislation passed that cuts them out or diminishes their role or takes some of their money away? So something that is a sure winner. If Democrats said that they were going to push for Medicare for all, they would win everything. They'd win the next elections in 2018. They'd win the presidency. They'd win everything. But they can't do it without cutting themselves off from their benefactors. So this fundraising prowess is a problem.
You know, it's real interesting when you take a look at the ideological component here. The 6th District is at the north end of Atlanta, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, 7, 8 years ago, it was maybe 2009, 2010. I was down there with Cynthia McKinney and went actually to an event, a political event, in that district, you know, up in the north side of Atlanta and in the woods. If they threw $500 at her and stopped beating her up for 10 minutes, she could have. They could get her elected as a Democrat just about anywhere in the area around Atlanta or even Savannah because of the work that she's done, constituency work and such. And I think that there's no more naked presentation of the ideological component of, you know, to this, of them not even contacting her, saying, look, we want to win this district and we know you could run very strong there and let's talk. Nothing. They, as a matter of fact, had she announced, certainly Pelosi would have spoke out against it. In other words, lose the seat over ideology, not just partisanship and not just money, but ideology.
Well, Democrats hate the left, right. So they'd always prefer.
I forget that all the time.
They would rather lose than help anybody on the left. So that's yes. So you're correct about her and about other people who stand where she does. But so here we are at this moment when we're told to resist Trump, and if that means being supportive of the Democrats, then you're still a loser because they literally are losers. Democrats are wiped out at every level of government all across the country.
Right.
The last thing they had was the presidency, and then they lost that too. And in opposition, just look what they're doing now. They this health care bill, they the only way to filibuster now, the rules have changed, is to go nuclear, as they call it, which they refused to do because they wanted to have, there were reports of this, they wanted to have some role in sanctions legislation against Russia. So here we are, we're being told the Republicans want to kill us all and do away with Medicaid, and the Democrats give up a chance to fight it, which means they don't really want to fight it. So once again, we see that they're completely, they don't stand where people think they do. You know, the Republicans are, they're, I guess you have to give them credit for being honest. They always say they're the party of big business.
Right.
They're the party of Wall Street. They just tell you, they're very open about it. You know where you stand.
Right.
But the Democrats pretend. And they act like they're the party of working people. They act like they're the party that's going to protect us when they're not. They're actually on the same side.
Right.
So this is a time, we're told this is a time not to expect people to be perfect. That always means just shut up and go along.
Right.
But by supporting the Democrats, we undermine ourselves.
What is that stupid thing that don't let the perfect become the enemy of the good? You know,
yeah,
or
yeah,
come
and
on.
it's
yeah. Well, who's the good in all of this? The Pelosi would be the good, or is she the perfect, or just perfectly horrible? I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. Anyway,
So we have this person who not only, I mean, she is such an easy target, isn't she? After Trump won, she has more than once, she has said, people have asked her about change, and she always says the same things. We don't need to change. Democrats don't want to change. I mean, she doesn't even go through the motions of pretending that Democrats are going to do something different.
Yep.
And the fact that they don't even know, I mean, they don't even have a PR person. They don't even give her lines to read. I mean, that this is the leadership who says we don't need to change after butt kicking after butt kicking. It really is amazing. But she said it herself. But we're capitalists. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
And they stand with the big money people. And that means they cannot stand with the people whose votes they keep asking for.
Hmm. Which creates a problem. You know, you would think that they would have learned from the experience of the rest of us that as one side or another, one faction or another of the laboring classes has been marginalized, that the remaining fraction of the laboring class is victimized because they're weaker, in a weaker position. If you continue to lose election after election after election, sooner or later they stop writing the checks, and because there's no alternative to the other ones who are winning, those checks get smaller. You would think that the political class would figure out, you know, that they're going to suffer the same fate the rest of us have by being divided.
Yeah, but I think because the Democrats managed to keep the presidency, I think they managed to keep raising money. And Hillary Clinton, it was assumed she was going to win.
Yeah, oops.
But it's going to be, it's gonna
a lot
be
of oopses today.
It's going to be interesting now. And I think they play both sides, because actually they don't really care who wins, because they both parties do what they want them
right,
to do.
Right, right.
So they give to both, and they figure whoever wins, we're good. I think that's how they look at it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if I know that, you know, you and he are both running for office and I want to own you both, so I keep paying both of you. Well, if one of you always wins, I'm going to stop paying the other one.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. But that, I mean, that's one of the reasons that we need to start thinking about how to, because the Democratic Party is, with this trajectory, is going to become truly irrelevant very quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't recall a time when they have ever been in this bad a condition, that they don't control anything, that they control just a handful of states. I mean, there were always, you know, a reasonable parity in Democratic and Republican governors and control of state legislatures, but Democrats have come up empty. And I think they're going to be truly irrelevant soon. And I also think that the other issue is, when they're in office, what do they do for us? So I have been arguing for a long time, we have to get rid of them. We have to replace them. And we do have this system that's hostile to third parties. So I say, get rid of the Democrats, have another second party.
Right, that's right.
Hanging on to them certainly doesn't do us any good, to be hanging on to these losers. And when they win, we always lose. Even when they win, we lose.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at what happened the last time they controlled everything, when Obama first won, those first 2 years when they controlled the House and the Senate. And the only legislative achievement was Obamacare. They didn't raise the minimum wage. They didn't give us card check. They didn't. I mean, you know, we can count up the things they didn't do when they had this, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity. So it's past time for us to start saying that the Democrats are really our enemies. They are the problem for us. And we have to start talking about what else to do, because this is, I mean, for people all over the country to send money for this Georgia race, Ossoff raised $15 million in a month, something, and they were bragging that it was small contributions. And you know, and I know that was true, but desperate Democrats were told this is the key to, you know, we're going to start, we're going to change our trajectory here with this race. And for people to be lied to like that, and to get their hopes up, and to depend politically on this group of people who are A, hostile to them, and B, who can't even win anymore is just absurd. So it's time to really take another look at an alternative to the Democratic Party, because they can't, they don't want to reform. They can't reform. They would have to change everything. They would have to give up their entire business model, as it were, and they see it as a business model. I know. So that's where we are now. It's time to move on.
You know, I'm having this imagery here floating through my head of people that call themselves progressive trying to wear the mask of Democrats as if this is somehow going to enhance their political power, and yet it reminds me of in The Walking Dead when someone wants to, a living person wants to walk among the zombies, they'll push like a zombie in front of them, or wear like the face ripped off a zombie or whatever over themselves, and so the zombies see them as a zombie and don't try to eat their brains. It's kind of like that. It doesn't work. They're dead. They're walking dead, in essence. And if you want to have your politics be that of walking dead, then by all means hitch your wagon to the Democrats. But if you're going to try to change something, you're right. If it's a two-party game, you need to become the other party.
Yes, exactly. And I think that equation is something that people miss. There's this terror of, helping the Republicans if we don't support the Democrats. And I think we have to talk about what the Democrats actually do when they get in. And we have to talk about the fact that they're not capable of doing anything differently than they are now. So we're in a perfect storm where people want to resist Trump, but doing so within the confines of the Democratic Party is a losing proposition. Actually, we need to be resisting the Democrats. I argue resist them first before it's possible to do anything against the Republicans. But people are held hostage by this fear of helping the Republicans. I mean, if you look what has happened since the presidential election, and everybody blames the Green Party. I find it interesting,
that's
out of
insane.
All the people who are responsible for Hillary Clinton's loss, right, that they just beat up on the left. And they'll count votes in, say, Michigan and say, if all those people had voted for Hillary instead of Jill Stein, then she would have won the state. Well, they don't even, it's interesting to me, there are people who are registered Democrats who switched sides and voted for Trump,
right,
and they don't beat up on them.
Right.
They don't beat up on Hillary Clinton herself. I could go on and on and on with all the factors that led to her defeat, but they, once again, the first thing they want to do is to beat up on the left. And it keeps people in line. It makes people afraid to think outside of the box, and it perpetuates their control over progressives when progressives need to reject them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, there are so many, contradictory messages, too, just from Clinton's own life and relationships with Trump. You know, when you're running your campaign on the basis of A, this is Hitler, and B, by the way, he's a stooge of Stalin, which is basically what her campaign was. The photograph and video of you and your husband, arm in arm with Adolf and Ava at the wedding kind of undercuts the power of that message, even if you put $1 billion behind it. And, there's all kinds of contradictions, but that one is just one in imagery that is such a stark contradiction.
Oh, it is. Well, that just shows you where Democrats really stand, that they wanted money from Trump or just wanted to, have their picture in the paper. Who knows why they did it? It does. It does undercut the whole argument. And speaking of reasons for her loss, she wanted to, as the emails that WikiLeaks revealed, she and John Podesta and others wanted to promote Trump. They thought he would be the easiest one to beat. So she promoted the person who ended up defeating her. And as far as the anti-Russia stuff, one of the reasons she tried to use that was that she was vulnerable. Who was the one who actually made a deal in Moscow? I mean, Trump talked about it. He bragged and lied about it. But Bill Clinton is the one who got paid $500,000 to give a speech in Moscow. Right. After helping Russia get control of a huge portion of the world's uranium.
Right, of American and, uranium.
Yes, yes. So that's one of the reasons she did it. But and talk about a contradiction. She was, as Secretary of State, she was doing deals to help her husband and help him get rich and build this foundation, so-called. So she was compromised herself. But now there are consequences. There are serious consequences to using Russia Gate, so-called, to help control Trump. But we can blame her for that as well.
And now you have, that campaign or those particular, I don't know what we call them, shouting points. They're like talking points without any reason behind them, spoken very loudly. So whatever. They're shouting point particularly about Russia, 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 spins off into the political universe, A, as enabling propaganda for war with Russia when there are clearly interests in the United States willing to risk it by just looking at the deployment of forces around the world and the exercises and the provocations and the coup in Ukraine and some other things. And also just in the culture here, this is now spinning out and we're looking at it practically taking down CNN in the last couple of days with an admission by one senior producer and then also even Van Jones admitting that all that Russia, Russia, Russia stuff is, a bunch of nonsense.
Well, yeah. And I've thought about it. These people had to step down from CNN. If we use that standard, a lot of people would lose their jobs. Yep. People at the New York Times and the Washington Post and the rest of the corporate media, there have been so many bogus stories about Russia. Yep. I'm glad that they were caught this time, but that continues. 90% of what we're told about Russia is not true. The supposed ties between Trump and the Russian government, as far as I'm concerned, they haven't proven anything. But they have pushed him into doing things that are very unwise. A couple of days ago, this bizarre announcement that comes from the press secretary that they think Assad is planning a chemical weapons attack. By the way, that was a lie. Assad has not carried out any chemical weapons attacks. So all of these things are very, very dangerous. And in order, for the most cynical reasons, these people in the war party and Democrats are in the war party too, have pushed the United States closer to military confrontation with Russia, which risks, I believe, a nuclear war. It could be accidental, but I don't trust any of these people to make good decisions. And I think they could end up with something that they had not planned for. And it's a very frightening time. And that's another reason to oppose the Democratic Party. They have carried out such terrible acts across the world. Whenever you see anything about Syrian refugees or refugees going through Libya, just remember it's the Democrats who caused this with their regime change plots in Libya and Syria. They have created an enormous humanitarian crisis that affects millions of people. And it is the fault of Barack Obama and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. It's the fault of the Democrats. And Democrats in Congress didn't say anything. And they all, that's the other thing about the Democrats. They all march in lockstep. They don't speak out against anything unless there's a Republican in the White House. If there's a Democrat in the White House, they support anything and everything they do. And now they can't even, I think they're at their smallest number ever, and they're only a handful of them, and all they do is push Russia. So we have Nancy Pelosi raising millions of dollars without any victories to show for it, with nothing but defeat to show. And we have Democrats desperate to fight Trump, but who cling to this losing party. And that's the dismal state of politics in this country right now.
Well, one thing Nancy Pelosi does have, though, is the remaining money in the bank still, and also whatever benefit one gets. You know, I had a friend that reminded me when I was young, if you can't self-deal, what good is it? When you spend a few $100 million on a campaign, chances are you were buying the flyers and bumper stickers and such from your brother-in-law or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they all do very well. Yet she still has that, as do all of the people involved in that particular game. So you got to consider that part might be just enough. That's all I'm after for a lot of people involved. But for the rest of us, you point out the party is tied to capitalism, which she reminded us, as it has never been, at a moment that the system is under its greatest stress. This, like, real brewing contradiction at the heart of this.
Yes, it's, you know, as Professor Anthony Montero always says on when he appears on your show, we're going through this crisis of legitimacy. And that's why the money raised, the endorsements, the buy-in from corporate media, all of that didn't help Hillary Clinton to win. And we've been seeing this in slow motion throughout the years, that all of these things that are supposed to give political victory have not worked. So it's like the blind leading the blind. And we're hanging on to these people who are following this failed model. So we have somebody at the top of the Democratic Party she has the job because she's rich. She's a wealthy person.
Right.
And I think she just, as you pointed out, I think she picks up the phone and gets her friends to write checks. And these people are consultants and they get paid millions of dollars and they get rich and make names for themselves. Right. And people like, I think is it Jim Messina? I know his last name is Messina. He worked on Obama's campaigns. He just came back from the UK. He worked for Theresa May. Right. And, you know, the Democrats are supposed to be left, but their consultants go and help conservatives in the UK to stay in power. So it's all very, very corrupt. And people need to change. We need to stop thinking that we're helpless and that anything we do will help the Republicans. We need to help ourselves, and we need to realize that helping the Democrats is not the way to go about that.
Yeah, his name is Jim Messina, by the way. Just like yes. The guy from Loggins and Messina, the same name, although I don't think it's
yes,
the same
I know.
Person.
And,
which is what confuses me, too, but that they have the same name. So, you know, the other thing you pointed out here, you know, looking at that contradiction, the Democrats can still get votes by pointing to Trump as the boogeyman, but that's not enough to get Flint residents to the polls when Democrats don't get them clean water. And you can go down a list of things, which you start with debt peonage, low wages, mm-hmm. et cetera. No one is getting relief for these serious, almost existential crises that we are facing in record numbers here. And so it's hard to sell he's bad.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you want to talk about why Hillary Clinton lost Michigan instead of, you know, beating up Jill Stein, you can ask, why didn't the Democrats do anything about Flint? I'm sure if they had put the federal, there's always money for neoliberalism. They always have money for empire. They have a coup in Ukraine, so they send hundreds of millions of dollars to Ukraine. All of a sudden, this money appears. So they had money, if they wanted to fix Flint's problem with the poison water, which they were forced to take by this emergency management system. The federal government could have stepped in and helped people. But this is the point where they are. They're too stupid to even be cynical. Right. It's like they're so tied to this system. There's nobody who says, you know, if we really need to win Michigan, we need to do something about Flint. But doing something for Flint goes against their true ideology. So they don't do anything. So people stay home. So they lose. And on it goes.
And sooner or later, again, they basically price themselves out of the game because they're really not a threat anymore if they can't get elected.
No, they can't. And that's why they do desperate things like spend all this money on this race in Georgia. But we should know now. We should be on to them by now and not be taken in.
Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com under the banner Freedom Rider. This week's column, Nancy Pelosi sends Democrats over a cliff. Margaret, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.